In the fourth reading of Parshas Pinchas, Moshe Rabbeinu is informed that he's not going to be going into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Instead, he's going to pass on right here in Transjordan. Now, prior to this, we hear of the rest of the third reading, which is the story of Benot Zelofchad. And Moshe Rabbeinu hearing that when there is no rightful heir, so whatever there is, you make do with what is, Moshe Rabbeinu now moves on to his own legacy. After hearing that he is going to pass on, he demands from Hashem, I want to know who is going to be the next leader, who will provide for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we explained in the last night's class in great detail, actually had a mind to divide the leadership of the Jewish people politically and spiritually. There would be a king who would take the people into war. There would be a teacher of Torah who would give spiritual guidance. God says, no, this is not to be the case. In fact, Yehoshua is going to be the man. Verse 18, chapter 27. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God says to Moses, Kach lecha es Yehoshua, take for yourself Yehoshua. Bin Nun, the son of Nun, Ish asher ruach boy, the man who has the spirit within him. Because Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Elikei HaRuchos, the God of all spirits, and he said, I need a person who is able to relate to each and every individual. Because, you know, people have many different ideas, come from many different places. I need a leader who can relate to each and every single one. So God says, take yourself Yehoshua. He is a man, asher ruach bay. V'samachta es yodcha olav. You will lean your hands on him. So Rashi says, kach lecha. What does it mean, kach lecha? Take him? Hold him in your pocket? what does that mean exactly? So Rashi says, when you talk about lekicha, we talk about taking, insofar as a human being or a person is concerned, it doesn't mean that you should physically manhandle him, but rather, kochenu bedvarim, capture him, take him with your words. Asherecha, tell him how fortunate, how blessed you are. Shezachisa lahanhig banav shalmakim, that you have now the merit to be the leader of God's children. So, you're not going to take him physically, but a person could sometimes say, I was taken by an idea, I was captivated. But did you put you in a prison? In a cage? What do you mean you captivate? You are a captive? No, it was captivating. It caught me. It grabbed my attention. I was unable. It grabbed you? Where did it grab you? No, it's a euphemism. So Rashi is telling us that kach lecha, kach here is also to be understood euphemistically speaking. Well, what does it mean lecha? So Rashi says, because you're going to be taking Yehoshua and installing him in a leadership position, it should have said kach lohem, take for them. Moses is not going to be around physically anymore. He is going to terrestrially experience the separation of body and soul. It's the nation that is going to now have a new leader whose name is Joshua. So it should say, kach lahem, take for them. So Rashi says it means, es shabaduk lecha, the one who is already, you have checked him out, so to speak. You know this man. He's been at your side all along for the last 40 years. Eze atamakir, the one you know. So the one you know, the very one you know, kach lecha, take him to you now. Take him to you as a leader. So the truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu did know Yehoshua very well. And precisely because he knew Yehoshua, he could never imagine that he would be the leader. Because he was this paragon of subservience and obedience and humility. He was the ultimate disciple, not the ultimate leader, at least in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. Hashem says, no, kach lecha, take him as you know him, as shabadik lecha, this one, zeshat ha-makir, this Yehoshua that you know so well. The Or HaChaim says, when you were concerned for the Jewish people, upon hearing of your passing and not thinking of your own needs, but instead focusing on the needs of the nation, as the Medrash tells us, and Rashi quotes, and you wanted this person who would be able to lead the nation, who was comprised of many different ideas. As I think it was Golda Meir once said famously, she said to the president, she said, you are the president of 215 million people. I am the prime minister of 2.5 million prime ministers. Jews have all kinds of different ideas, and they were not an easy bunch. So you wanted who will do this? Yeshua is the man. He is the Ruach. He has the spirit in him. And kach lecha, says the Or HaChaim, means that you will give him, so to speak, let him into your inner dimension. In other words, there's a soul bond and connection you have with every single Yid. You'll kach lecha, bring him into that. Let him experience and achieve that same kind of soul bond. You will, so to speak, share with him the magnificence of your own soul. So that's kach lecha. And what should you do? You should v'samachta es yodcha alav. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lean on him? Is this going to be a physical thing? So Rashi here interprets this also euphemistically. He says it's not to be meant physically, literally, Moshe Rabbeinu actually leaned on him. It means ten loy miturguman. You should appoint for him an interpreter. You see, once upon a time, when the leader or the teacher was on such a lofty level, the average person couldn't really understand what he was saying. But it's important that the message you get across. So you'd have a person who was your spokesperson. He would act on your behalf in getting the message out. He'd be able to understand you, but he also was relatable to the people. So you have him a maturguman. You appoint for him a spokesperson. In other words, that he now should expound and teach the Torah in your lifetime. They shouldn't say on Yehoshua after Moshe Rabbeinu passes, you, Yehoshua, you never opened your mouth in the presence of Moshe. Now that Moshe's not here, now all of a sudden you want to become a leader. But you never had an ounce of leadership quality when Moshe Rabbeinu was here. So therefore Hashem says, you make sure that he is going to be seen very publicly, doing what has to be done. The Ibn Ezra says, the point here is literal. Moshe Rabbeinu will actually lean on Yehoshua as if to demonstrate, we're relying on you now. It's on your shoulders. You are the one who can carry this forward. And Ibn Ezra says, in order that the Jewish people should see that Moshe Rabbeinu relied on Yehoshua and actually sees him as his replacement. Rabbeinu Bachai says this also. This idea. Now, incidentally, you know that this is where the concept of smicha comes from. Smicha, which is in English kind of translated as ordination, what it really means is that a rav is saying, I know you, I've tested you, and now I'm comfortable saying a Jewish community can rely upon you. It really means it would be better translated as made reliable. That's really what smicha means. So Yehoshua got smicha to be the king. Because Moshe Rabbeinu Melech Haya, and Yehoshua was a king. And the Rambam actually talks about the transfer of power from Moshe to Yehoshua. And Rambam actually says that you should know that when a person is appointed by the Melech, it has to be done with a Bezdin, and he brings a proof from Yehoshua. So the Rambam himself indicates that Yehoshua was a Melech, and his appointment was a royal or regal appointment. Which leads us to a big question. If Yehoshua's appointment was a regal appointment, where was the olive oil? Where was the anointing oil? He's never anointed. He's only appointed and never anointed. And we have the next verse. It says, "You'll place him before v'hamarta eislofnei alazar akayin. You'll place him before alazar akayin lofnei kol ha'ida in front of the whole congregation. V'tzivisa eisoy le'einehem. You will give instructions, so to speak. You will impart the command to him in front of their eyes. What does this mean? We say, Lefnei Elazar HaKohen. So here Rashi tells us, pardon me, verse 20. It doesn't say what he should command him. It just said, Vitzivisa Yisai. You'll command him. So Rashi says, you'll command him Al Yisrael, with regard to the Jewish people. You will say, you need to take care of these people. You're responsible for these people. Da, you should know, that they will place tremendous burdens upon you. Sarbonim him, that they are a rebellious group who will not necessarily listen to you. Don't think you're getting into a leadership position where everybody's going to slide right into place and say, yes, sir, what would you like us to do? No, that's not what's going to happen here. Almanas shetekabel alecha. However, I'm telling you this before we begin, I just want you to know what you're getting into. This is not a group that's going to say, sure, we're looking for leadership. You must be that man. They're not going to say that. But nonetheless, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu has to command him, so to speak. And the commanding him is he should command the Jewish people or command Yehoshua about what kind of people he is about to lead. The Ramban says that Vitzivisa is not an information session where he's going to let Yehoshua know, here's what to expect in your first 100 days in office. That's not what this is about. But rather, this is giving him instructions. What a leader has to be. a leader has to be the one who goes first. He leads from the front, not from behind. By example, not by instruction. A leader is a person who has to be thinking about the others always, at all times, first and foremost, and never about themselves, and so on and so forth. So when Moshe Rabbeinu gave him the orders, the marching orders for what means leadership, he said, then, if you'll do this, ultimately they will follow you. However, if you don't do that, then there's nothing to talk about. You know, there's an expression in English, I think, to pass on the command, conferred the command upon him. So that's the meaning, Ramban says, Yeshua had the command of the Jewish people now conferred upon him. What they talk about in law enforcement culture, passing of the saber, right? Passing of the sword. They actually do this when they swear in a new chief. There's a sword they have from, I don't know, here in New York region, something like 1850 or something. And that sword has been passed from every chief, and they have this big session, and he gets sworn in, and then the outgoing chief passes a sword onto the incoming chief, and he receives the sword, and now he has, so to speak, the command. I don't remember, but I holds it. And now he has the command of office, so to speak. That's what's called command of office. You are the chief, you're the new commander. It's very possible that in army culture it's like that also. I've never been there.
He's going to preach.
Huh?
He's going to preach.
Yeshua's going to preach. Very good. This is exactly what's going to happen. Right, and not only is he going to preach, but v'nasata mehidcha alav, you'll give some of your glory upon him. L'man yishmo kol adaz b'nei Yisrael, so that everybody will hear. This has got to be a very public spectacle. Everybody has to hear what's going to happen. What does it mean, v'nasata mehidcha alav? Rashi says something unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu transferred something that only he had to Yehoshua. What did Moshe Rabbeinu have that no human, no mortal ever had before or really after? A glowing countenance, the radiance. He says, you'll pass some of that radiance. Zekiru nerpanim, you'll pass that radiance. And how Moshe Rabbeinu passes the radiance, I don't know, when he puts his hands on Yehoshua, he electrifies Yehoshua. The radiance now resonates in Yehoshua. I guess that in some way makes Yehoshua's physicality less dense, and so the light of the neshama now can shine forth. So Yehoshua is radiant in front of all the people. Now it says, mehoitcha, of your radiance, but not kol hoitcha, not all of your radiance. Nimtzeinu l'meidim, from this we learn Moshe, Pnei Moshe kechama, the face of Moshe was likened and metaphorized as the sun. Pnei Yoshua, the face of Yoshua was a reflection, a pale reflection of that. Kalavana, metaphorically speaking, as the moon. So this is the passing of command, and the chain of office is passed now from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. So the question that we are going to deal with this morning is something I touched upon earlier. So why was Yoshua appointed and not anointed? That's a question. Let's take a look. Lucky for us, the Rebbe deals with this question. And he explains why Yehoshua was not anointed as a melech, as a king, to lead the Jewish people. Page Kuf Nun Gimel. Which spells Kenig, or king. Simin Chafei. So the question that the Rebbe asks, as said, is why is it we don't find Shachadosh Baruch Hu Tzivus Moshe, God should command Moshe l'mshoyach es Yehoshua b'shamen ha-mishcha, that he should anoint Yehoshua with the special anointing oil, kedin minu melech, as the halacha is with regard to appointment of a king, that kings are not appointed, but ultimately anointed. Kifisha pasuk ha-Rambam, as the Rambam clearly rules in the laws of kings, quote, kishma amidin ha-melech, when you appoint the king, he's anointed with the olive oil. Incidentally, the Minchas Chinuch asks the same question of the Rambam.
Are we assuming, though, that he's likened to a king?
Why are we assuming?
We never associate Yehoshua as a melech.
Well, so that is true. We don't associate Yehoshua as a melech. We don't associate Moshe Rabbeinu as a melech either.
Right.
But the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu melech hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu had the din, the halacha of a melech. And therefore, since Yehoshua was his sole successor, he would also have the halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Interestingly, when the Rambam wants to talk about the chain, the path, the chain of command, or passing of leadership or dominion, he proves some of the halachas that affect appointing kings from the way Yehoshua was appointed by Moshe. But he totally glosses over the fact that Yehoshua was not anointed. He talks about the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu having the transferring the power of agency, that the power of the Jewish crown comes from the Torah, comes from Sanhedrin and Torah leadership, but he doesn't talk about the fact that Yehoshua, who was that Torah leader and an absolute Torah leader, like Moshe Rabbeinu was, didn't get anointed. I understand you're missing the background. Please trust me. Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of melech. It's a medrash, it's a gemara, it's widely understood. And the Rambam draws on it.
The nasi of every door is...
It's not so simple that a nasi is a melech. It's not so simple at all. I had a long class about that last night. There was something unique about the nasi, the nasius of Yehoshua. A regular nasi, a regular Torah leader of a generation, is the leader of the Sanhedrin. Ultimately, the whole of the Sanhedrin acts in the stead of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's just that the one who heads the Sanhedrin in a point, in an element, takes the place of Moshe. But it's ultimately the Sanhedrin and its majority vote that serves to ratify what the halacha should be. But in the days of Moshe, who did that? Moshe. There were no votes put to it. Guess what? In the days of Yehoshua, the Sanhedrin didn't vote either. Yehoshua was the sole arbiter. He made all the decisions. So whatever halacha Moshe had, Yehoshua would have. Rambam Magdir is Tafkid HaMelech Kach. The Rambam says, when he says, what is the description, job description of a Jewish king? He says, quote, V'tiyya magmasim machashavte, his desire, his thoughts should be directed laharim dasa emes, to raise the faith and the faith system of truth. Ulamalos ha'olam tzedek. He actually has a global responsibility. He sounds like we're describing a rabbi here. Or Rebbe. His job is to promote Yiddishkeit. His job is to promote justice. The whole world should be filled with justice. Ulishbar zroya harashayim. His job is to be the world's policeman, to break the backs of evil. Ulihilachim milchemes Hashem, to fight the wars of God. A king is not appointed, to begin with at least, mishpat u'malchames, to ensure justice and wars, which are, in other words, that there should be peace and security, lawfulness in the land, and the notion that the citizens should be safe and secure, national defense. So the National Guard and the armed forces. Kiloimer, tafkid hamalucha b'Yisrael, the purpose of melucha, the purpose of royalty, kingship, dominion with the Jewish people, this is not like typical or your regular form of government, in which the regular form of government focuses on who? Focuses on the needs of the citizenry. A government that does not provide for its own citizens is a fraudulent government. A government that's more worried about ideology in the secular world, instead of worried about safety and security and national defense, has abrogated his or her responsibility towards the nation. However, the Melucha b'Yisrael is different. For Am Yisrael, it's not only to worry about the physical material needs of the people, Elagamo b'Iker, also, but more importantly, primarily, Lahashlit u'liyasem esanhogas ha'teira b'Yisrael, to ensure that this nation will live according to Torah principles. So the job of the Canadian government is not to impose its value system upon us, even though the current prime minister has arrogantly elected to do that. That's not what he was elected for. He was elected to provide for this country. He's elected to ensure that the borders are safe, that the streets are lawful, and that the citizenry is well fed and protected. Unfortunately, he's not doing that. And therefore, a lot of people are really angry, understandably. But you should know that from a Torah perspective, the Torah leader of the Jewish people has a different task. Mind you, I cannot tell you that in the secular state of Israel, it's different. The job also of a prime minister there is to provide security, to worry about the needs, the prosperity, the economy. That's his job. Economics and security. These are the two big buzzwords for anybody who wants to be elected or to office. If you can provide those things, then you are fit to be the leader of a secular country. However, for a Jewish king, the anhaga of the melech is tafkidu lasis mishpat. His job is to bring justice. He is an ideologically driven figure. His job is Yiddishkeit. It's a different job description. He be'etzem harchava v'histayfus shel hanhaga teiranis. It is essentially an extension of Torah leadership, which Torah leadership is usually represented by, who is the face, the facade of Torah leadership? The Sanhedrin. Hamyutzeges al yedei bezdin agadol, which is represented by the great court. Shehem Amudi Ha'ira, that they are the pillar, so to speak, of instruction and direction. Umehem, and it is from them, and this once again is a quote from the Rambam, Hilchos Ma'amrim, Chayk u'mishpat yetzei, law and justice come forth, b'chol Yitzrael. U'mikaran yesh le'umet, the Rebbe suggests from here we can extrapolate or derive. Sheba'oysam mikrim, shebehem anhaga teranis v'anhaga amlucha, in a time, in an instance, in a situation where both Torah leadership and political leadership would be vested b'yidei adam echad, in the hands of one person. Kelaymar, yibedoydim shol Moshe v'Yeshua, in the generations of Moshe and Yehoshua only, and Mashiach soon. But in the generations of Moshe v'Yeshua, ha'isa hanhaga ha'teronis tafkidei ha'ikri v'armerkazi, so his primary focus of his leadership was Torah leadership, not secular political leadership, not even economy or national defense. What about the political leadership? What about the economy? What about the self-defense and national defense? That's all important. But that's secondary to the Torah leadership that he provides. The Zuhi, this is the reason that Rebbe suggests, that he was not anointed for his purpose, rather he was ordained. Why was he ordained? Hamashicha b'shemen, the notion of anointing with oil, humini l'malchus, that's an appointment for material leadership, and material leadership only. Ve'ilu humini l'anhaga teranus u'bemtzoy smicha. When somebody's going to be appointed to a Torah position, you don't get anointed, you get appointed or ordained. You get smicha. Smichas chachamim, as it's called. Because Yeshua remains primarily the Rebbe and Torah leader of the Jewish people, and that, Nathan, is why you don't think of Yeshua as a melech, because that was the secondary part. He had a din of melech, but it's not who Yeshua was. Who was Yehoshua? Yehoshua was the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. And who was Moshe? The Torah leader of the Jewish people. He's Rabbeinu, Moreinu, Rabbeinu. He's our Rebbe. He's our teacher. Malchus HaGashmi is for Moshe and Yehoshua was tfeilolo, was but secondary. And this is why Yehoshua appoints Moshe, but the primary appointment is not done with any kind of olive oil, any kind of anointment, but rather the primary appointment is done by virtue of the conference, conferring upon him the power of Torah leadership. Idea of smicha. The interesting thing is that Mashiach, who's going to be such a great Torah teacher, is known as Mashiach. Mashiach, which means anointed. But if Mashiach is going to be such a great teacher, maybe Mashiach should just get smicha. Especially because the Minchas Chinuch, he queries, when exactly is Mashiach going to get anointed? By who will he be anointed?
Who could give Mashiach smicha?
Who could give Mashiach smicha? Yeah. Who could give Mashiach anointed? Well, God has to choose him. Who could give him, who could anoint him? Minchas Chinuch wants to say that since his lineage, David HaMelech, will be ironclad, and he will rise to the position only because of his lineage, he won't need to have anointment. Because the Ben Melech, a child, a son of a king who replaces his father, does not need to be anointed as long as the father was anointed. And the only reason Shlomo HaMelech was anointed was because of the question as to which son of David HaMelech would replace him. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to suggest that there's no need for Mashiach. And then the interesting thing is, but he's still known as Mashiach. So the answer, based on what the Rebbe teaches, is in a word that the idea of a Torah leader, a great Torah leader, these things have already existed before. But the real chiddush, the real novelty of Mashiach, will not be in his Torah leadership per se. The quality of Mashiach's Torah will be higher. But the idea of Mashiach being this great leader will not be so much in the Torah he will teach, but rather will the real chiddush be seen, the real novelty, in him becoming the ruler of the world. In his dominion, so to speak, in his malchus. That's the real chiddush. And then, because that's the real novelty, that's what he'll do that nobody else has ever done. Maybe that's why he's called Melech HaMashiach. But ultimately, the essence of Mashiach is not necessarily, or necessarily not political leadership, but rather holiness and Torah leadership and so on and so forth. And we could go on, but time is run out for this morning. The main thing is that Mashiach should finally come. And HaMalchus Tachzel Yisrael, royalty should return to us, Torah royalty, real royalty, the royalty of Moshe Yeshua, and the royalty of David Ushleimai, Ben Heda, will be Amenu.